Good morning. It's 9 minutes after 6 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in for Joy Cardine for the rest of this week. The news that the U.S. Mint is taking a stab at producing another dollar coin is probably not big news to most people. Most people, after all, say they prefer using a dollar bill. But that hasn't kept the Mint from trying to produce dollar coins over the years, whether you remember the big Eisenhower coins that weighed a couple of pounds apiece, the Susan B. Anthony's that were just like a quarter until you tried to use them in the phone, or the Sacagawea coins. There's been no shortage of trying by the Mint. In fact, according to a newspaper account in USA Today, the Sacagaweas remain so unpopular that 110 million of them are stockpiled because nobody wants to use them. But the Presidential Dollar Coin Act of 2005 seeks to change all of that, and the U.S. Mint is trying a new strategy this time around. Namely, they are going to try to make the dollar coin collectible. Our guest this hour says this coin and this strategy could be doomed to failure as well unless another step is taken. He says it's the removal of the dollar bill from circulation. Christopher Bonanos is a senior writer at New York Magazine, and his piece, Scrap the Greenback, can be found on Slate.com. Well, what are your thoughts on the dollar bill or the dollar coin? Are you somebody who favors the feeling of all that paper in your wallet or the jingle of all that change in your pocket? Or don't you care? Is a buck still just a buck? Are you a business person who is tired of trying to find extra change drawers or machines that will accept dollar coins or a good machine that will still accept a dollar bill? Let us know what you think with a call at 800-642-1234. Or if you are calling from Madison, you can join us at 263-1890. Email works too, and our address there is talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Christopher Bonanos, good morning, and welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
Well, sure. It's great. It's an interesting topic, and I have to say that I missed the press release from the Mint on the release of the dollar coin. Was I alone?
Well, probably not. It is, as you said in your introduction, you know, the fourth attempt to do this, mm-hmm. and it does seem to be one more thing that is sort of sliding by the public. Although I will say that many of the same people who got excited about the state quarters program over the past few years seem to be responding to this as well.
And those same people, are you talking about people who collect coins?
It's basically people who collect coins, yeah, and a lot of kids have been interested in it, apparently. You know, it's an inexpensive way to start collecting coins, and I think it has drawn a lot of young people into the hobby.
And the U.S. Mint has apparently figured out that this could be a marketing strategy for them, and they might be able to get these dollar coins into the hands of people. And we're going to get to your article in a second, but on one hand, it's a good excuse to produce dollar coins, but on another hand, it might be sort of a last desperate attempt, you know, to try to make these dollar coins go.
Yes, well, they won't say that exactly. The nominal reason for this is that the producing coins for collectors is lucrative.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of money for the Treasury.
Yeah.
The simple fact is it costs about a little less than 12 cents to make a dollar coin, to manufacture it, that is. And it's a little complicated how it works, but basically the Mint produces it and then sells it to the Treasury. There's an exchange of money called seigniorage, essentially where they put it into circulation and get the face value. So if they spend 12 cents to make it and it goes out for a buck, the Treasury makes 88 cents if it is immediately pulled from circulation and stuck in an album somewhere.
And that's a nice return on your investment.
That's very true.
Okay, well, let's get to the meat of this. Why is this something that you felt strongly enough about to write this article? Because you take kind of another tack at it. And I don't know that I've heard anyone say this out loud before, but if the dollar coin is to be a success, we have to get rid of paper dollar bills.
Right. The reason seems simple to me and has been proven out in other places that have switched from a bill to a coin. It's much cheaper to produce coins than bills. Though the initial cost of producing one is higher, as I said, it costs about 12 cents to make a coin. It costs about 3 or 4 cents to make a bill. But a bill lasts 22 months in circulation, and a coin lasts 30 years, nearly 15 times as long, more than 15 times as long. is much higher.
Now, what is it about the dollar bill, though? Because this is one of those things that you don't really think about until somebody asks you. And then all of a sudden, it elicits this sort of weird gut, you know, sort of emotional response.
You know, people are weirdly and strikingly attached to their currency. I will say that the story on Slate that you mentioned went up a couple of days ago, and the forum online where you can post comments about the story caught fire. there are people yelling at each other over this. Coins, no bills, no coins, no bills. There are good arguments for either side. I think in the end, the arguments sort of balance out, in which case my thinking is, you know, the potential savings that a report at the General Accounting Office of the United States government figured out that it'll save $500 million a year if we go over to coins. And then, so if you have more or less even split between coin partisans and bill partisans, I say save the money.
And you're trying to inject logic, though, into this very emotional discussion.
It's very visceral. People, you know, people get weird about their money.
It's
about
true.
The actual physical presence of their money, you know, the color of it and the handling of it. You know, there were people posting about when the silver content went out of coins in 1964. They're pretty much the same. You know, you can make arguments about it not being backed by precious metal or something like that. But the big change in the actual physical coins is that they don't ring the same way if you drop them on a table. And people got exercised about that.
You know, I have to say it's true. I remember my grandparents demonstrating that for me.
Yeah, I remember the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Christopher Bonanos. He's a senior writer at New York Magazine. And we're discussing his piece this morning, Scrap the Greenback. And it's an argument for scrapping the dollar bill in favor of the dollar coin. We'll be taking your calls after that as well. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine. Coming up after 4 this afternoon, At Issue with Peter Donalds. He's filling in for Ben Marins. Anti-war demonstrations around the globe and here in Wisconsin continue as this week marks the 4th anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq. Peter Donalds' guest after 4 makes the case for peace. This hour, we are making the case for the dollar coin with Christopher Bonanos. He is a senior writer at New York Magazine and has a piece posted on Slate.com that's getting all sorts of reaction titled Scrap the Greenback. And we're learning more about his take on things. If you'd like to join in the conversation, you can do so. It is 800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Christopher Bonanos, before the break, we were talking about some of the rational elements of being in favor of the dollar coin, namely, we save a lot of money. But there is an emotional aspect to it, too. Apparently, this is a good-looking dollar coin.
I have to say, my own reaction, again, there are partisans on the other side.
Of course, given.
The gold Sacagawea dollar and the new ones, the presidential series that's being issued, which is essentially on the same blank, you know, they're the same size and the same color, it's actually, although people have the reaction that it's not like the big old silver dollar.
Right.
Or they tend to lump it in with the Susan B. Anthony, which obviously was too small and felt like a quarter. The new coin is actually pretty good from an industrial design standpoint. It's got this thick, smooth edge that in the hand distinguishes it very nicely from the other coins. And, of course, the color is pretty good visually. They feel sort of heavy in the hand.
Like a dollar should.
Right, exactly. They have much the same quality of the European and British coins that have replaced the bill there. You know, the one-pound coin is a little thicker than the others, and therefore, I don't know quite how to describe what I'm saying, but when it's in your hand, it doesn't feel like any of the other coins.
No, I know exactly what you're feeling, what you're saying, and it's sort of, the cliche would be it has some substance to it. You know, there's something there besides just a little tiny coin.
Yeah, clinks a little differently, too, which also helps.
Yeah, and one of the other premises of these dollar coins is that they are collectible. They feature, the one that that is out now has George Washington on it, but they're going to run through all of the presidents into the near future.
That's right. They're gonna issue, I think it's 4 a year for more or less 10 years. The rule is you get a coin if if you are a president who has been dead 2 years when your term comes up. So they're certainly going to run through President Ford, and then there will be a Reagan coin, which hasn't been scheduled yet because it's unclear whether he will follow Jimmy Carter. If he's still alive when his term comes up, he won't get a coin.
Mm-hmm.
And the same for the first President Bush and Clinton
and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got something to look forward to. Do you have any idea, I mean, aside from the reaction that your article has gotten and the slight reaction, I don't know if it's slight, that kids and collectors are getting from these things, whether there is any move afoot as to widespread acceptance?
Well, the issue seems to be, so far, it's kind of early to tell. It's only been a couple of weeks, and things do take a while to kind of filter out.
So people aren't leaping at it, just like, give me those coins.
Well, not so much. Again, the issue, again, is as long as people have dollar bills circulating, habit takes over. And a lot of people are concerned that, you know, having a bunch of coins in your pocket is going to be heavy or whatever. But they just don't break their ingrained habits. And, you know, until the Treasury removes the paper dollar, it's not going to happen.
And, you know, I have to say, well, your article is instructive because I didn't know that there were these sort of informal Treasury restrictions that prohibit the Mint from suggesting that a coin might be better than a bill, and that there had been an ad campaign, you know, sort of for the coin and against the bill that was scrapped because it was just too much over the top.
Yeah, there was a big ad campaign instructing us to use the coin.
So that's true.
Yes, when the Sacagawea was introduced in 2001, more or less, they spent a lot of money on an ad campaign, presumably paid in dollar coins.
Many of them,
and, right? Big sacks,
truckloads of them. Yeah,
they spent a lot of money on an ad campaign, and there were actually ads that weren't produced, that were proposed and not produced, because they were seen as denigrating to the bill. Which, you know, there seemed to be two factions within the Treasury: there are the coin people and there are the bill people.
And they're contributing to your forum.
And apparently so. and they argue with each other over, you know, there are turf wars. As crazy as it seems.
Well, you
excuse me.
If you work there, you'd take it seriously, I guess.
Of course, right. There's also a lobbying group called Save the Greenback. That makes campaign contributions and spends a lot of money on lobbying in Capitol Hill.
All right. Well, guess what? We've got a full phone bank here, and so let's see what listeners have to say. Robert joins us from Fond du Lac. Hi, Robert.
Good morning.
Hi.
I have a couple of comments. One, the first one, I think simply because of economics, the paper dollar bill sooner or later is just going to disappear. Simply because of what Christopher said, because of the lifespan of it, you know, 20, I believe he said 22 months versus 30 years, sooner or later it is simply going to disappear, simply because it does not have the lifespan of a regular coin, and because of that, sooner or later it is going to disappear, and there's nothing we can do about it. I accept that. It's probably going to happen. My second comment is I can see why people would want to keep the bills. I mean, personally, I would love to see coins. But, I mean, there's something really tangible about a dollar bill. I mean, in a lot of restaurants that you go in, you know, you see the dollar bill tacked up on the wall that, you know, our first dollar that we made. And, you know, it's the only analogy I can come up with is that several years ago when they first came out with liquid soap, I mean, everybody was touting it as the next great thing. And when it didn't take off, they couldn't figure out why. And they did a big survey and they found out that it was something you couldn't hold on to. There was nothing tangible there. And I believe it's the same way with the dollar coins. It just does not have the tangibility of a handful of dollars.
All right, Robert. Well, I think that's a very good question to put to our guest. Thanks for your call. And Christopher Bonanos, what about that? I haven't heard the soap analogy before.
No, nor had I. I understand his point. It's, again, it goes back to, I think, familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
If you grew up thinking of paper dollars as money, it's very hard to think of these new things as being worth anything, especially because, you know, given that neither one is actual precious metal. You know, you might have an easier time thinking of a piece of silver or gold as a valuable object. Mm-hmm. But since they're both just counters, if you like, the new one feels fake.
So have you gotten any sense, that the dollar bill is actually going to go out of production?
No. In fact, the bill introducing the metal coin specifically had lines written into it, again, after some lobbying from this Save the Greenback group, that it would not supersede the bill. The Treasury can't do it on its own. It's Congress that has to decide.
And we know how they can be about making decisions sometimes.
They want it both ways, it appears.
Let's go to Maureen, and she joins us from Milwaukee. Hi, Maureen.
Hi. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I think the issue is more of access. My husband actually had collected all other coin, and one day he said to me, he says, why don't you take all this coin in and obtain some silver dollars? We'll save them for the grandchildren. Well, I was kind of shocked because we're in our mid-40s, so I'm saying, what's this all about? But I did happen to take this large, jewelry box chest and went to three banks and had difficulty obtaining what I was remarking to be the silver dollar. Well, I went into the last bank and said, what seems to be the problem? And she says, well, we have gold dollars. And I said, well, I didn't even know we had gold dollars. And she says, yeah, we have, as you had remarked, I always have trouble saying that name, but the 2001 dollars. She says, we have three. The Anthony dollars, and would you like those? And she ended up doing the count and submitting to me $83 in silver dollars, as I call them, but they are gold, silver, and otherwise. But I think they're very different from my youthful years when the dollar was large. These look almost like larger quarters, and they really are nothing to write home about, so to speak. They're not entertaining, but... I did take those $83 home, and I guess we are collecting them now. So maybe tell me a little story about access.
All right, let's talk about access for a bit, and I think this might be getting to Christopher Bonanno's point that as long as the greenback's still accessible, the dollar coin is going to be locked away somewhere.
I think that's right. There seems to be a sort of waiting game going on. That is, people aren't putting them into circulation because they have this feeling that cashiers and other people won't take them, and cashiers haven't been using them because they don't get them from the banks, and the banks are not using them because the banks have not done the infrastructure changes, you know, installing new coin counting machines and like that, until they think the public has accepted it. So it's a little round robin going on, and no one will make the first move because everyone's waiting for someone else.
Well, we're going to take a break right now and take time out for a look at the news. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Christopher Bonanno, the senior writer at New York Magazine. And we're discussing his piece called Scrap the Greenback, which you can find on slate.com if you'd like to read it. And while you're there, you might want to contribute to his forum. Sounds like everybody else is. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. In Madison, it is 263-1890. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm filling in for Joy Cardine today. Our guest this hour is Christopher Bonanno, a senior writer at New York Magazine, and we've been talking about his piece called Scrap the Greenback, which you can find on the website slate.com. You can also find a forum there if you'd like to contribute your thoughts about the dollar coin that has been released by the U.S. Mint. And in his piece, Christopher Bonanno argues that the only way the dollar coin is going to be successful is if a decision is made to scrap the dollar bill. So we've been talking with him about that. We've been taking your calls as well, and we're going to be getting to those in just a moment. Christopher Bonanno, so one of the examples you use of a success story in your article in Slate is the New York, is it the Metro that runs the Metropolitan Transit Authority that runs the subways?
That's right.
And they switched from those little tokens you used to get to those, now they're sort of benign electronic cards, but they made the switch.
That's right. And in fact, they went through some of the same difficulties. The token was discontinued in, I think, 1996 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first couple of years, it ran concurrently. I'm sorry, I misspoke. The electronic fare card was introduced in 1996 or 7, but the token lingered on for several years after that. And the people kept using tokens.
They were trying to be all. Yeah, they were trying to be all things to all people, huh?
Exactly. There was a lot of that same talk about public acceptance of the new currency, you know, that people had to take time to adjust, and they just didn't. They kept buying tokens because they'd been buying tokens for 50 years. The moment the MTA said, okay, we're withdrawing the token, everybody, in very orderly fashion, with very few complaints, said, okay, we're going over to the electronic thing. They started buying the cards. Token was discontinued in 2003. Acceptance then was effectively 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny.
Nobody had any choice. And, you know, there are people who speak fondly of the token. You know, they remember it fondly. You can buy a set of them made into cufflinks at the Grand Central Terminal. But really, nobody misses it terribly. The advantages of the electronic card are substantial. You can do a transfer on it. You can buy, in, but, you know, they give you a little discount if you buy 10 at a time. 10 fares at a time. There's, you know, there are a lot of reasons to go over. And in fact, people kept using tokens even after the discount had been offered on the electronic card. Habit is very strong.
They paid more.
Exactly. So when you, as soon as you force that habit to switch, people adjust very easily. They just have to. They need that little nudge of, you know, discontinuing the old currency.
Let's go on and get some more callers in on the conversation. Gene joins us, and he is in Madison. Hi, Gene.
Yes, I would suggest that everyone go to Google and do inflation calculator.
Okay.
And you will find that 100 years ago, a dollar is worth a nickel. And in 1947, a dollar was worth $9.98. And what that means is in 1947, a penny had the purchasing power of 10 cents. The problem with the dollar is it's only worth 10 cents. And we really need, as a society, and I don't think many people are going to agree with this, but they really need to think about reevaluating the currency so our currency has value. A dollar now only works is worth 10 cents, and it pretty much means pennies are worth nothing, nickels are relatively useless, our coinage has no meaning anymore, and this talk about converting a dollar to a coin, well, you know, you really need to convert the $10 to a coin, and it would be worth a dollar. The issue is inflation over time has decreased the value of our currency system such that evaluating the cost of goods and product has become extremely difficult. And maybe we're not at the Germans with their wheelbarrows full of money. We need to do something. And as far as going to these nice electronic cards, that would be great if you didn't always have to give the bank 2 cents on every trade.
All right.
Gene, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your call. And Christopher Badanos, his argument is, it sounds like, if I was reading that right, the dollar deserves to be pocket change.
I think he's right. It's a good argument that, you know, it was 50 years ago, dimes and nickels, well, you did something with them. You could buy, I don't know, a piece of fruit for a nickel and a cup of coffee for a dime or something. Whereas now they're really all about making the very small distinctions and change. You know, if you move the buck over to a coin, it means the coin transactions start to count again. And I think people have found that when the European Union went over to its single currency, they made the 1 euro and 2 euro denominations into coins. And in fact, they have proven pretty popular.
Yeah, I remember when they did that, because before that, if you went to Italy, or Italy, I guess, was more notorious because they had all these little tiny coins,
right.
You know, and you're always losing them in your pockets. But
I know. And a 50 lira coin is worth about a tenth of a penny or something. They're made out of aluminum, I remember.
A good day.
They're essentially useless coins, yeah. There's a whole dump the penny movement, too, which, you know, talk about stirring up strong feelings. My gosh, you get people going on that subject.
So are these two related? Because I was thinking of that when I was reading your article, the Dump the Penny movement and Scrap the Greenback. I mean, it's sort of the same thing, and yet people want to hold on to pennies, too.
Yeah, I think that's just an attachment from when people were kids, really and truly, you know, that they're copper, so they look different from other coins. And again, people just have this visceral reaction to it. And I think they also, you know, they say, well, everything will have to be rounded to 5 cents. You know, we could probably live with that. But it's an even purer bit of individual preference there. People just get really head up over that one.
Let's find out what Patrick in Milwaukee thinks. Hi, Patrick.
Hi. I just want to say that I definitely support getting rid of the dollar bill and moving to a dollar coin. I love the dollar coin. I had to save for a sort of an expensive plane ticket a few years ago when they introduced the Sacagawea dollar coins. And so out of every paycheck, I would take out about, you know, $50 or so in dollar coins. And I put these into a sort of a Tupperware container. And at the end of the whole process, I had this pot of gold coins. It was very satisfying. I became briefly obsessed with it. And I would think, you know, that was the highlight of the week, you know, was getting those you know, more gold coins. And it was sad when I had to trade them in, you know, but I went to a different bank than the one that I had actually gotten the coins from, and they were very suspicious of me bringing in, you know, $800 or so in gold coins. So, but because of that experience, you know, I'm just delighted every time I get a gold coin, and I wish they were, you know, more widely circulated. So I definitely support this idea.
All right, Patrick, thanks for the call. And Christopher Bonanos, there's a success story of the dollar coin, and he liked it because it was very tangible, a tangible, easy way to save. He could watch the progress he was making every week.
Yeah, you know, I have found I haven't gone quite to the level of collecting 800 of them, but I sort of go out of my way to use them too. You know, here in New York, as I mentioned the MTA before, when you buy your electronic fare card, if you get change out of the machine, it comes out in gold dollars. And so I often have a couple of them in my pocket. And, you know, I'll tell you what's really nice. The first time you go up to a vending machine, and instead of sitting there with your wrinkled dollar bill and putting it in, and it goes vroom, vroom,
and it kicks it back,
vroom,
yeah.
Vroom, and it comes out 6 or 7 times before it takes it, you drop in a big gold coin, and it goes thunk, and you're done.
Like, so there.
It's, yeah, it can feel it, you know, it works. And, in fact, the funny thing is most vending machines have already been converted. They'll take them. People don't know it.
I didn't know it. I was actually surprised at a car wash about a year ago when I stuck in my $5 bill to get my dollars back so I could wash my car, and it dumped out these. I thought they were tokens at first, but it turns out they were Sacagawea dollars. I didn't even spend them for a long time because I didn't think I could put them somewhere. Then I saw, oh my gosh, they're money. So it was a wake-up call for me.
There's something pleasant, too, about using a big gold coin to buy something. You know, it feels like the Old West or something. It's a doubloon.
A doubloon. Well, we haven't heard that term for a while. Hey, I've got another comment here. We had an email, it looks like. Cheryl from Madison remarks, who even carries money around anymore? Why don't we just use plastic?
Well, it'd be nice, but, you know, try it at a flea market.
Okay.
I mean, on anything big, she's right.
Mm-hmm.
And even on some of the small stuff, if we could do it, if the infrastructure were in place, sure. But, you know, it's for every cup of coffee, you're going to have to sign for it. I don't know. Not quite yet.
Well, the fact of the matter is we're going to have to carry cash for a little while.
Yep.
Christopher Bonanos is our guest this hour, a senior writer at New York Magazine. We've been discussing his piece, Scrap the Greenback, that you can find on Slate.com. If you'd like to join in the discussion, you can do so at 800-642-1234. In Madison, give us a call at 263-1890. Also join us by email if you'd like, and that address is talk@wpr.org. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 12 minutes before 7 o'clock, I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 9, Kathleen Dunn and her guests discuss the high turnover rate among middle school teachers who frequently don't have expertise in the subject matter or training in understanding the adolescent mind. That's coming up after 9 o'clock this morning here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, we are discussing the dollar coin. The U.S. Mint has released another one, or a series of ones, I guess I should say, and they're hoping that the dollar coin becomes a habit. But there is a move afoot to keep the greenback alive as well. Our guest this hour, Christopher Bonanos, argues in favor of scrapping the greenback. We're going to go directly to calls right now because people would like to talk about this, and let's move to Barb, who is in Milwaukee. Hi, Barb.
Good morning. I have two comments. One is that recently my family took a trip to Canada, and they have $1 coins and $2 coins. And although it took a little getting used to, you know, you can't put them in your billfold, they were very easy to use and hard to lose because they were larger. And the other thing is, whenever my husband goes to the credit union, he always gets at least $20 of the Sacagaweas, and then he uses them for small purchases, like if we go to rummage sales or something.
Sure.
And it's so funny. People are always delighted to get them. They're always like, oh, what's this? Oh, wow.
It's like a present.
Like they've never seen it before.
Yeah.
So I just think we need to get out there and use them more.
All right, there it is. Get out and use them, Christopher Bonanos. What do you think about our neighbors to the north? Are they an example to us?
Yeah, when I was getting a story together, I polled my two or three Canadian friends, and they told me the same story, that the $1 and $2 coins, the one has a picture of a loon on it, and they call it the loony.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And the two introduced after that is called the toonie.
That I did not know. That's a good tip.
And apparently there was a little resistance at first, and then people came to like them. And they now sort of, they hold them in a, there's a special affection for them, and even a sort of sense that they managed to make they're almost smug about, oh, you Americans haven't managed to pull this off yet, but we're the better for it. The Canadian public, as a rule, now, once they went over, vastly preferred the coin to the bill.
So perhaps if we worked on cute sort of huggable nicknames for our dollar coins, we'd have more success?
Yeah, I know the old Eisenhower one was the Ike, and the Anthony was the Sue, and the Sacagawea is the Sack. None of these are really great.
No,
Ike isn't bad.
No, the Ike's not bad.
No,
it was so big.
Yeah, that was the problem. Yeah, the Eisenhower dollar was just too big to carry a lot of in your pocket. Apparently it was a success in one place, which was the casinos, because the slot machine guys liked them. But nobody else wanted to use it.
Jason joins us, and he is calling from Winona, Minnesota this morning. Hi, Jason.
Hi, how are you guys today?
We're great. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Actually, I caught a little bit of a flu, so if you don't understand me, I'll have patience.
We'll suffer along.
All right. I had cashed one of my rebate checks from my SUNY college there back in New York one year, and the combined... it's a little different than the Midwest here, how they do the colleges and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to the bank, I had, asked her for what she had. I wanted silver certificates, of course, first, and then I wanted, and then I worked my way down, you know, anything gold and silver. And then finally, I might be mistaken, but the Sacagawea doesn't actually have any gold in it, right?
That's right. It's mostly copper.
Yeah, it's pretty much worthless as far as any real value other than, you know, it's like everything else. All of our stuff in circulation is, you know, as the market fluctuates, it's sometimes worth, like, for example, if the copper penny was actually all copper, you know, at some $4 a pound or whatever it is, you know, everybody'd be cashing those in. But anyway, my point is I had cashed in about $3,500 worth of those checks into the Sacagaweas. So when I showed up at home, I had, you know, two big money bags full of gold coins. And when I dropped them on the ground, you know, all these what looked like pirates' booty just went all over the floor. And, you know, my younger brothers and sisters were like, you know, wow, that was the coolest thing. And I ended up in my little town there, upstate New York, I ended up, trying to make my own little movement of instituting the dollar coin.
Yeah.
And they're right. It takes a... it takes people by surprise when you go to pay, you know, you put $2 coins on the counter to pay for whatever it is, or five or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I felt a little strange when all I had was like some 500 coins left, and I went to buy, I think, a part for my automobile, and I dragged in a bag of 500 coins. They don't like that, but you know, I had to get rid of them and, you know, keep moving forward. But
so how did the movement take off, Jason?
Oh, it was all my friends and relatives now. They know if they ever need one of those coins. Like, especially, sometimes they like to give them as maybe yes. birthday gift or yeah. something, you know? Because what happens is a young kid will save them. So it's a way of having that kid save maybe $25 because you get them in $25 roll. And what's nice, I still have a handful of them, is the right out of the mint. They say the United States Mint, and they're all, it's a fancy wrapper. And they, you know, you give them away, or people might buy them from me for a present to somebody else or something. But I had a quick question. What's the last coin that was printed that was actually is silver, like as a silver dollar, either half piece or full dollar piece?
Most of the coins in the United States went from silver to copper and nickel alloy in 1964, but there were a few coins produced after that. Collector's proofs, you know what a proof coin is? Those
mm-hmm.
super
yeah.
nice finished ones that the yep. mint produces for collectors. Yep. There were a few proof silver dollars produced into the 1970s, and there are a few things that nobody circulates now, like those are American Eagle coins that are made out of precious metals. They also, for a few years, the half dollars had some silver in them after the conversion as well.
Let's go to Random Lake now, and Jack joins us. Hi, Jack.
Hi. I just have two items to mention. One is the practicality of it. I have about, I just checked in my billfold, 17 $1 bills, and if I had 17 $1 coins or wanted to carry that much currency, it'd be like an apple in my pocket. So I think that the practicality of it is probably a mixed bag, you
mm-hmm.
know, paper currency and then also coinage. But I'm also concerned about the trend of moving, you know, just devaluating not only currency, money, but there seems to be an underlying current of concern for or issue of, yeah, let's just eliminate currency altogether so that we can do these transfers or transactions electronically much more simply. And also just a concern of where inflation is. I mean, a gentleman earlier pointed out that the devaluation of currency since 1947. And I know this topic is specific to the coin, but I wanted to raise those other issues, and that's all I have to say.
All right, Jack, thanks for the call. And the trend of eliminating cash, Christopher Bonanos, we talked about that briefly, but I think cash is going to be around for a while. At least the underground economy is going to need it in any case.
That's certainly true. You know, we may not like to admit it, but among people who are a little misbehave a little on their taxes, it's not going to go away. And just in general, for transactions where there isn't a lot of infrastructure around, you know, it's one thing when you go into a big chain store and they are networked to do every transaction,
mm-hmm.
every nickel electronically. But, you know, little mom and pop stores that are paying a fee to American Express or Visa every time you use a credit card, or, as I said, in a flea market that's outdoors, you know, if you're just set up in some vacant lot somewhere, you're not really wired to do it.
And before we go, before we leave at the top of the hour, I want to talk about, again, the premise of your article is scrap the greenback, and there is a lobbying group that is trying to save the greenback. And who is behind that? I mean, who wants to, and I understand why people want to from an emotional standpoint, but who would actually put money behind an effort to save a dollar bill?
Well, it sounds eccentric, and then you find out it's the people who have a vested interest in the actual physical production of the bills. It's people who grow cotton because, you know, they use cotton rag fiber.
Mm-hmm.
A bill is made of mostly cotton and linen. The ink producers, the company called Crane and Company, which is mostly known for very nice stationery, but also produces all the money for our currency. They've had a contract with the Bureau of Engraving and Printing for 100-and-something years. They're a contributor to Save the Greenback. Those groups, in the aggregate, add up to a decent number of people.
And they've got a lot of folks on their side, judging by the reaction to your story.
It does seem that way. Well, again, there was a move in the Congress in the late 90s, just at the time the Sacagawea was introduced, there was a move to get rid of the dollar bill. And these lobbyists, they caught the ear of, you know, the cotton farmers are mostly in the Deep South, and they caught the ear of Trent Lott from Mississippi, and Crane and Company is in Massachusetts, and they caught the ear of Joe Kennedy, who was their congressman at the
mm-hmm.
time. And, you know, essentially some language that they and some other congresspeople got some language into the law that said, okay, we'll introduce the coin, but we won't get rid of the bill. So we're caught sort of in this in-between stage.
So do you feel like you're sort of tilting at windmills or anything?
I don't know if until the Congress changes its mind and actually overcomes the lobbying efforts or decides to just make it move. I think the issue is mostly that nobody in Congress is passionate enough about this
mm-hmm.
to really force the issue. And until then, it's just going to sort of roll along as it is, despite the fact that they'd save a lot of money. You know, I think once you get used to the legislative process, the $500 million a year that we'd save is considered, oh, it's not that much money.
I guess not. Christopher Bonanos, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate your time. Christopher Bonanos has been our guest this morning, and he is a senior writer at New York Magazine. We've been talking about his piece, Scrap the Greenback, and you can read it for yourself at Slate.com. If you'd like a copy of the program, you can listen online in our archives or call the radio store at 800-747-7444. Cheryl Gasser produced this hour, and we had on-air production from Karen Prager. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in for Joy Cardine this week here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.